Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
There's a guy hit the deep right field. That ball is going. Blowing it in. Gone. He drives the authority. Now I don't believe it.
That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
Yo, what up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show. We're here at the Little League World Series, scouting out potential players for the 2025 New York Yankees. Hey, you gotta get them while they're young. We'll also listen in as Betty stage dives into the mosh pit to talk baseball with New York hardcore's very own Antidote. So throw down your blanket and order a corn dog. But she's Betty, I'm Gigo, and this is Episode 5 of the Bullpen Betty Show.
Everybody, it's Bullpen Betty. Welcome back to our show. It's the fifth episode of our second season, and I have with me G-I-G-G-O, and Giga was his name-o.
Too many G's in there.
Well, it didn't work with the bingo. Change your name. Hi, Giga.
Hey, doing, Betty? How you doing?
Tell everybody where we are, because...
We are sitting out behind the fence, the home run fence. We are in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, at the Little League World Series.
This is a family show, so I can't get too into it, but I hung out with a few guys years ago in L.A. who were on the team that won the Little League World Series probably in, like, the late 80s or early 90s. They were not playing baseball anymore, however.
And neither were you.
No. So that was closest I got to the Little League Champion World Series.
But the big story, I guess, here for Little League for the World Series... is, of course, Monet Davis.
That's incredible.
She's fantastic. I believe, 13-year-old African-American girl pitching for the Philadelphia team. Right now, there are two girls playing in this particular World Series. I think Monet Davis, if I'm not mistaken, is the first black girl to play in the League World Series, to make it this far, at least, to make it into the World Series.
Right.
And she's mowing them down. She pitched yesterday, was a two-hit shutout. I think the game before that was like a four-hit shutout. She's mowing them down.
Wow.
Girl power, baby.
Does she... I bet you she doesn't wear pink baseball hats.
Not that I saw. And her goal, I believe, is to be going to the WNBA. So she's a two-sport girl at the least.
Wow.
And I wish she had her on the Yankees because... I can't remember the last time they hit anyone on the Yankees pitched a shutout.
Well, when last we posted, Gigo, we had just won four games, some against Texas, I think one or two against Toronto.
That was a couple of weeks ago, and I believe the last time the Yankees scored a run.
Then that was followed by five losses in six games when we finished Toronto and played then Texas and Boston. Then, though, that was followed by six wins in seven games, Boston, Detroit, Cleveland, which was, of course, followed by four losses in a row during Cleveland and Baltimore. So what I say is thank God for rainouts, because we probably would have lost another game in Baltimore.
We are definitely the epitome of mediocrity. we're three games up above 500, four games below. And this all after we've got to talk about was very promising, when they faced Detroit.
Right.
Last week.
Yeah,
that's
all dissipated for me, but go on.
Right, so here they are. They're coming into this series facing Detroit. They had to face Verlander, Scherzer, and...
Price.
The last three American League Cy Young winners, followed by Rick Porcello, who's only leading the majors in wins this year. And it will happen.
They won three out of four, and they didn't do badly in the game they lost.
They could have won that other one.
Yep.
But you can see the signs were there. They won those games 2-1,
right.
1-0, 3-2. No offense.
Right.
You know, we've been pitching good.
Yep.
Considering, again, we say this every time, every show, all our main pitchers are hurt, and these scrubs we're like pulling people out of the stands to pitch for us.
I know.
And they're doing well.
Well, and Pineda really came back the other day, and he did really well in the innings he pitched in.
Yeah. It's the offense. The thing that they spent all the money on this offseason.
They're not getting.
Right, almost $400 million on McCann, on Beltran, on
Ellsbury.
And they're getting nothing out of it. Nothing.
Right, I mean, Tanaka looks like he's on the comeback trail, but like you said, it doesn't really matter if nobody's hitting. These pitchers can't win games without any offense because they're not hitting.
I mean, the pitching is winning, but we got like a lot of young guys. We have like 30 starts already by rookies, something crazy number.
Yes.
Instead of franchise
it's like
record.
A record, right.
So these guys, they don't pitch a lot, so they're going into the fifth inning, maybe
and
getting
to
sixth.
That's it.
Which means the bullpen's pitching a lot.
Right.
And our bullpen is very, very good.
Right.
But our bullpen is starting to break down.
Right, but Thompson's got shelled by that son of a bitch, Adam Jones.
But they've been used too often. These guys have already probably pitched as many innings as they usually pitch
the whole season. Right, right. So is it over?
I think, after this great stuff we did with Detroit, then we had just this past week.
Cleveland and Baltimore.
Baltimore, right. So that was a big test. We went into the series 6 games out. And the thing was, if we could sweep them, we're right back in the chase for.
But we didn't.
For the division. And no, we lost 2. One got rained out.
Thank God.
We lost that one. But we lost the other 2. So now we came out of that series 8 games out. And I think we're pretty much the division is out of the question. We're not going to catch
them. No.
So we really needed to sweep them to have anything. Now it's all about the second wild card. We're not making the first one. And who knows what's going on there? I mean, that is crazy. Kansas City has passed Detroit. This Detroit team we were just talking about with all the Cy Young winners and had like a 5-6 game lead in the division.
Yep.
Have been passed by Kansas City, who came.
They're like a half game back now or something.
And who does Kansas City have? I mean, James Shields, right? Big game James, obviously the Yankee in the rotation.
I know who's on. George Brett.
right. They don't even have George Brett. You know, they got Perez catching. They got you know, a few guys, but it's you know, they're playing small ball. They're playing real good team ball. So with them now, if they can hang out to the division, either them or Detroit, right? One's going to get the division. If it stays the way it is, one's going to get the wild card. And then it's like Anaheim.
Right, Toronto. You got Mike Trout.
We have so many teams to hop over to get to that other wild card.
Yeah, so you're saying you think it's over.
I wouldn't say all the way, just because we just got Pineda back, pitching excellent. And we might be getting Tanaka back.
Yeah, but like, 3 weeks?
In September, right? So, I mean, we can make a push. But we need to hit. You know,
Ellsbury needs to, you know, maybe hit a ball or two.
McCann, he said. Beltran.
Well, but McCann had a concussion. He was out.
Yeah, right, he had a concussion.
And so, but who's the one who hit the home run the other day? Cervelli.
Cervelli's, yeah. I mean.
But they still lost because of Adam
but
Jones.
But it's like Beltran got a little bit hot, but then. It's like they'll score 5 runs in a game and lose 6 runs, right? And then not score any runs the next day.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. Even a game against, there was one game, I guess, against Detroit, they won. They scored 10.
And they 10-6. They still didn't blow it out. It was.
Right,
you know.
They still didn't blow it out. Right. They had to bring in, you know.
But Beltran hit a grand slam, and I called it. I was watching it, and I was like, it's number 11 right here, Carlos. And he was like, you got it, Betty. Crank.
They're totally inconsistent. Oh, not even inconsistent. Non-existent.
Yeah. Well, so I think that it's because it's just a team that never gelled, so they don't even really know each other, you know? It's like a pickup game every day.
I mean,
Martin Prado, who the, you know?
But Prado and Headley and Stephen Drew, those are small additions. We're not counting on them to drive in major runs.
Right, we're counting the other guys.
McCann and Beltran and those are the guys who are paying big money. And the guys who really aren't pulling their weight. You know?
And then poor...
And Tex, who's great if he can ever get on the field.
I know. Poor Brian Roberts got shuttled off to East Istanbul or something.
Right, because, right, Stephen Drew is actually playing out... He's a shortstop playing second base, you know. But he's doing better than Brian Roberts. Right? So, I don't know. We got a million guys all playing out of position.
Yeah.
Martin Prado's an infielder. He's playing right field.
Yeah. No. It's ludicrous.
We had McCann playing first. We had Headley playing first. We had
McCann. Right. Who wasn't playing first?
Tex was the only.
Yeah.
Guy
now. The first baseman. God.
Are they out of it?
Probably.
Probably does not look good. They'd have to really go on
a tear.
Which they can do, because we've seen that they can actually pick up their play.
Right, against the Tigers. But
they'd have to keep it up for more than 3-4 games. You know, it'd have to be like a good... They'd have to win every series from now on. I think at the very least. Right? And really beat up on the guys who are right in front of them.
Yep.
In the ball card.
We have to play Detroit again away at the end of the month.
Oh, we do get Detroit.
Yep.
So that'll help maybe. If they're not in the division lead, if Kansas City can hang on...
We're facing
those games against Detroit will be important.
No, we are playing Kansas City in September.
Oh, we are.
We are.
Once again, the schedule has been very good to us.
Well, and then all of September we're playing division besides Kansas City. Boston, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Baltimore.
So, so the schedule's been kind to us. We just haven't been able to take advantage of it, which is a shame.
You see this? You see this vase? I'm going to break it over my own head.
And, I think that's it. Look, looks like Australia just beat Czechoslovakia.
Wow, I didn't even know they played baseball in Australia.
Tanto, this is Australia's second year in the World Series. Oh. They were here last year. They didn't win any games last year. Just now, they just won their very first Little League game ever. Little League World Series game, I think.
Well, that's nice.
Czechoslovakia's first time in the series, and they have yet to win a game. So
that's
cool. Czechoslovakia here. They're, I mean, it's a start, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Australia. We have some. You know, there's I think like 28 Australians have played in the major league. So, but so while we're waiting in between these two games for the next game to come up, I know sticking with our international flair. Did you just speak to somebody?
Oh yes, I spoke to now. We can call them International rock stars Antidote before they went to Belgium to play the Iperfest. They've since come back, and
when I first saw that written down, I thought it was a leper fest. they're playing a leper fest?
It was a leper colony. They felt very bad. It was a charitable type of organization.
I was like, that would be interesting. No clapping in a hand.
There goes my eyeball into my highball. Uh-oh, I got leprosy. Yeah, so it was a good little chat because they are Drew and Nunzio are both from New York and both Yankee fans. So
and musicians like all our other interviews. So.
Right, they're far from athletes, but they are they are New York musicians and they love the Yankees. So strike that up.
Let's give it a listen.
Yep.
Bullpen Betty is here with Drew Stone and Rob Nunzio Ortiz of Antidote.
What's up?
How you doing, Betty?
How are you guys doing?
Very good. We're good.
So we're talking about, I'm talking to you because of music, New York City, but most importantly, you guys are both New York Yankee fans.
Yes.
Yeah, we have been, and we've been friends since we were teenagers, and we've always loved the Yankees, and we've been to games together, and we've always followed the Yankees, and we're both born and raised in New York.
Well, that's very interesting, Drew. But before I get into
Christ
that,
almighty, Betty.
I wanted to talk to Mr. Nunzio here because he's not present, but Rodrigo Gigo, mm-hmm. my co-host and editor on the show, apparently you've known for longer than you've known Drew Stone.
That's true, I have.
How did you know him?
We went to school together in Queens, where I grew up.
And, what part of Queens?
In Jackson Heights, Queens, and Elmhurst, Queens. And I think we met in, it might be Joseph Pulitzer, 145 Junior High School.
And is it true that you played fifth trombone?
No, we played first trumpet, actually.
I never even knew you played trumpet.
And we played together, I think we played almost every graduation for 3 or 4 years, pretty much.
So, Gigo, you've now been called out. I want you playing trumpet on our next show.
There you go.
That's something I never knew about him.
I never knew you even played trumpet.
I didn't know you could read music either, huh?
Yes. You know? There's a lot I don't know about you, bro.
Well, tonight, you might learn a lot more. So, before we get into baseball, let's talk about Antidote a little bit. And I will ask you, Nuns.
Right.
How did Antidote get started?
Got started... when I got out of high school, I was trying to start a band for the thing I wanted to do was be a musician. So I went downtown and I started meeting musicians, and I found out this punk rock thing was pretty happening. So I kind of got involved with that.
What year was that?
1979.
All right.
I was still in high school. And then when I got out of high school, I had pulled together a few guys I knew from school and started a band called Vos Deferens, I think it was called. And we ended up downtown on Lower East
Look
Side.
That up if you don't know what the Vos Deferens is.
And, you know, we met up with some of the guys in the Bad Brains, and they put us on one of their shows. And from that point on, I thought, wow, this is great. This is working out pretty good. So when that band folded, I got the Antidote.
Why, were they a bunch of dicks?
No, they were pretty cool. Pretty cool guys. Weirdos, but cool guys.
Okay, so now, Drew, when did you come into the picture? The Antidote frame?
I was, to make a long story even shorter, I was in another band called The High and the Mighty, which was some guys I grew up with in the Bronx that I went to school with. And we used to play the same venues, like the A7 and places like that. And I always loved Antidote. They put out the Thou Shalt Not Kill single, and they were like one of my favorite bands. And I met Nunes, and we were hanging out. And Antidote and the High and the Mighty played a show in D.C. together. And they, on the way back, you know, Antidote got into a big fight with their original singer, and that was the last show we ever played with them. We came back to New York, and I tried out for the band, and I ended up joining the band, and that was 1984.
And that show in 81 I was talking about with the Bad Brains, that was the night I met Tom Victor, and him and I moved in together, and we started Antidote, and we used my other friend from Queens, Arthur Googie, who was a Misfits drummer. So it was me, Arthur, and Tom Victor were the original Antidote, pretty much. And Tom plays with Prong, and you know, he played with Glenn Danzig now.
Oh,
he's done pretty well for himself.
Yeah. The original Antidote was Googie, who drummed for the Misfits, and you know, Nunes, and you know, Nunes wrote all that. Iconic early New York hardcore stuff was all written by Nunes.
Did you guys try out other singers?
Yes.
I heard that Freddie Mercury was one of them.
No. I would have liked to try Freddie.
You picked Stone over Freddie Mercury. That's what I heard.
No, we had some problems with one of the guys that was singing, and then Drew tried out for the band, and we thought he was good. So.
Do you still think that he's good?
Oh, he sucks, but we have to use him anyway. We're stuck with him. He's all we got, so. No, he brings a lot to the table, so...
Do you recall how you became a Yankee fan? Being from Queens, you may not have been.
No, I'm not from Queens. I'm from Manhattan, see?
Okay.
I grew up with a bunch of Brooklyn Dodger fans in the house, so I always went against everything everyone else did. So being they loved the Dodgers, which meant that they loved the Mets, I loved the Yankees.
And it was out from what age?
Since I was a little kid.
And did you, well, you were just talking a little bit ago about the tickets from the early 70s.
Right.
What about?
Some of those games, bleacher seats in Yankee Stadiums in 1970, 71, 72, 73 were actually 50 cents to you can get into the bleacher seats at Yankee Stadium.
And do you remember going to those games?
Yes, I went to a few of those games.
So, bleacher seats, you can now sometimes get them for $17, I think. Which is still actually... Not
that's almost 2,000% inflation. Not bad.
So, Drew, how long have you been a Yankee fan?
Well, I did some growing up in the Bronx, and I lived in a building when I was growing up. Chris Chambliss lived in my building, so in the like mid to late 70s, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I must have been a teenager at the time.
He hit the big one.
And he lived in my building when he hit that big one.
Yep.
And so that kind of like, I mean, I was always, you know, but, you know, the Yankees weren't very good in the 70s, you know.
Until the late 70s.
Well, they pretty much sucked, yeah.
Was it 76 they kind of had a decent, and then 77 and 78 they won?
76 they got swept by the Reds.
Right, that's right.
The big red machine.
That's right. Sparky Anderson, mm-hmm. and Pete Rose. And then... Chris Chambliss hit the big home run in the 77, I think, playoffs.
No, I think he hit wasn't that 76 where he hit the big one, launched to the World Series, right. And then they lost, and then 77, Bucky Dent hit the big one.
Right.
Right?
Something like that.
Something like
so
that.
This was when you...
Well, no, it's just always been part of the lexicon, and, you know, growing up in the Bronx and, you know, having that connection with Chris Chambliss. I remember we were kids and we all waited for him to come back to the building, and we were like, you know, excited, but... I lived within. I could see the stadium from where I lived. So, you know, back then, you know, we used to do stuff like, you know, cut out of school and go to games. And it was like Noon said, it was really cheap to go to games. It was, you know, 50 cents or whatever. So you know, you cut out of school and go to a game or whatever, whatever. You know, so
you cut school to go see the Yankees.
A lot of people did that.
A lot of people did.
So, how do you guys... I've had this discussion before in terms of, like, the Yankees and the hardcore scene. Like, you know, I go to shows and I see tons of, like, Yankee, you know, gear, hats, shirts, everything. Not so much Mets. Mm-hmm. But
Yankees have the best logo, so
right.
The most
it just looks hard.
It looks great, yeah.
Where like the Mets, it's like bright blue and.
Well, I think part of it is the Yankee uniform is like pinstripe, like gangster, and you know, and I think this goes for any kind of local team or whatever. You know, people, you know, that's what they represent. And New York and the Yankees have always had a tradition of winning, and it's like that iconic imagery of the pinstripes and the logo, and there's hardcore bands like Sick of It All that have co-opted the logo, and you know, the Yankee stuff is always been, it's, you know, just the Yankee tradition, and you know, tradition of winning and professionality. And
professionalism?
Professionality.
Plus, Yankee Stadium rocks, and they play their best music right. there, too.
And there's also the Bronx, you know, and that whole bit, and blah, 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 you know, so.
Did you guys go to Shea Stadium back then, ever?
Of course. Yeah.
And it was, I just remember going to Shea Stadium in, like, the 80s, and it was sort of like, I went to Yankee Stadium in the 70s and it was like chaos. And then you go to Shea Stadium in the 80s and it's like families, like having a picnic.
I saw the Yankees play in Shea Stadium back when they were remodeling the old Yankee Stadium. The Yankees had to play in Shea Stadium for, I think it was like 2 seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to see them at Shea Stadium too.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Me and Nunzer, we're New York sports fans. And we growing up, we always loved New York sports, and
that's right.
You know, we're big Ranger fans, New York Ranger fans, and we just, you know, we're really New York sports fans for the most part. But you know how it goes. It's like Yankees, Rangers, Giants,
Knicks.
So that's kind
of
like.
Now, Gigo would agree with you on all of those.
Yeah, well, that's the line. And then the other line would be Mets, Jets, Islanders, Nets. A.K.A. the losers.
I love the Yankees Harriet. Comes really from my uncle, who was a huge baseball card collector. So I grew up in a house with like thousands of 1950s baseball cards. So when I come up from school, I would look through all these cards and I would always pull out all the old Yankee cards. And he had all the Mickey Mantles and the Yogi Berras and the Roger Maris.
So who's your favorite player? Do you have one?
Oh, well, I like Joe DiMaggio. Is one of my
Why do you pick Joe DiMaggio?
Because he kicked ass, that's why. Because he's a serious guy, all business, great player, a lot of respect, and he went out with movie stars, which is really cool.
It's true.
Italian also.
Oh, and you are half Italian.
Half Italian.
So, do you have a favorite Yankee memory, Drew, or player? Or
Of course.
Memory?
My favorite player would be like, there's a few of them, but for me, would be like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. I always loved Jorge Posada, Andy Pettit.
The whole team that's no longer with us.
Well, you know, that was a great ride, and that was like, you know, that was a great ride, and I was a part of it, so. You know, and then there's also the players from when we were teenagers, like, of course, Thurman Munson, Ron Guidry.
Fritz Peterson, the wife swapper.
what? The what?
Fritz Peterson.
Tell us about Fritz Peterson.
He swapped wives with the other player. I forgot which player it was, but he actually got caught swapping wives. I think it was with another pitcher on another team.
Permanently, or was just one of those swinging 70s kind of things?
One of those swinging 70s kind of things.
But as far as moments go, one moment that really sticks in my head, like as being this incredible moment, was when Reggie Jackson hit the 3 home runs on the 3 pitches.
Off 3 different pitchers.
Right, and all on the first pitch.
Right.
That I remember that, and that part of that might be like the age that we were, like what, 16, 17 at the time?
14.
Yeah, I remember that just being. It was mind-blowing, like...
Reggie Jackson, the Yankee who has the same birthday as Bullpen Betty, that Reggie Jackson?
Oh, I have a good moment. The day I went to Yankee Stadium, and it was they gave out Reggie bars at the game, and Reggie struck out, and the third time he struck out, everyone threw the Reggie bars onto the field. And it was raining Reggie bars onto the field, and they stopped the game to clean the Reggie bars off the field.
Yeah, right.
That's one of my favorite Yankee moments.
That's great. That's a... Too bad there's not like video of that, or maybe there is. We'll
there
have to
probably
take a look.
Is. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
So now we've got Tex, Gardy, Ellsbury, but clearly this year's Yankees are a team in transition, we could say. So Drew, what do you think needs to happen? Is it salvageable?
I just think that, you know, you can't fault a team when injuries just decimate them. And it's just another Yankee season where all these injuries have just really decimated the team, from Tanaka getting hurt to, you know, CeCe, Pineda, you know.
Even Phelps is on the DL right now.
Just so many guys have been hurt, you know, and it's hard for a team to gel, and they brought in a lot of different guys. But look, it's no secret the Yankees have old legs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're really on the cusp of huge changes happening.
Jeter's
gone next year. What's going to happen with A-Rod? You know, are they going to re-sign CeCe? You know, like, big changes are coming. Yeah. So and I welcome them. I'm looking forward to the next, you know,
generation.
Yeah, I am. You know, and I'm looking forward to managing the team. So
Yankees need some youth on the team. They were looking old the past few years, and I think when Jeter retires this year, it'll be a big change in the power struggle, you know, in the dugout and all that stuff, and in the locker room, because he's the captain. You know, young players don't like to step over the old timers in baseball. So I think when Jeter leaves, it'll change the
dynamics
of the clubhouse.
I think part of the issue, dichotomy, whatever. It's like with the Yankees, like last year was Mariano Rivera's farewell tour, and that brought a lot of people to the stadium. This year is Jeter's, you know, farewell tour, and that's bringing people into the stadium. Next year, you know, it's probably Ichiro's last year, or if they bring A-Rod back. So the Yankees, things are usually dictated by, like, these personalities and not so much, you know, the most talented, youthful guy playing that position. Mm-hmm. And that's the dilemma of the Yankees in a certain way.
In the past 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Well, Nunes, you haven't lived in New York City for a while, so you just went to the new stadium the other night for the first time. You know, what do you think about it versus the old one? Or
It really feels just like the old stadium. Like, they really went out of their way to make it feel like Yankee Stadium, and they did a really good job of it. They added a lot of things that are really interesting and nice, like the museum and, you know, the Jim Beam place. So it's pretty happening, I think, and it felt really nice, and I really enjoyed it. It's almost like the game is almost secondary in a way, because it's like there's so much to do there and see that kind of, in a way, the game almost becomes like something going on in the background in a way, but I don't know if that's going to be good or bad.
They're hoping it'll make them more money. Right? When people are there, spend money in the store, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that it's his take on it, because that's kind of been the blessing and the curse of the new stadium, is that, you know, people come and the game is like a sideshow now. It's not really.
The more you see it, the more you go there, I guess the less fascinating the other stuff becomes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, right. I've gone. Yeah. You know, a bunch of times just this year, and you know, but it's part of the routine. We like to, you know, do this and do that. But you know,
being it was my first time, I had to go check out.
No, it was great.
I had a good guide, you too. So
it was great.
I thank you for taking me. At least they won the game.
Right.
That's the main thing.
So, do you guys have any closing thoughts about the Yankees before I move on to my final segments of the interview?
New general manager. New owners.
All right. Nunzio speaks.
I tell you, I almost wouldn't mind if the Steinbrenner family sold the Yankees at this point, just to break it up a little bit. I think it's heading in that direction.
To Derek Jeter?
To a Derek Jeter-led conglomerate. Derek Jeter is the figurehead.
Don't be shocked or something like that. Actually,
yeah, no. I'm looking forward to moving ahead with it. I mean, I'm in it.
As long as Jay-Z doesn't buy them, we're
right.
Okay.
I'm with you. Jay-Z is off my list for eternity.
Okay, good.
He's thumbs down on the Bullpen Betty Show. You know why?
No.
Because of Robinson Cano.
Okay.
And you know what? You know what I want to see too? You know what I want to see? I'm going to get a little crazy here. I want to see Don Mattingly manage the Yankees.
Yeah,
we
got to
pull him away from the Dodgers.
You know what? I think I'm okay with Girardi. I always have been. I know I lambast him at the stadium every now and then in the late innings when he can hear me from the upper deck. But I'd like to see a little change in the guard.
So
and
right.
I'd like to see Mattingly, you know, coach the team.
Definitely.
Okay, well, I thank you guys. And yes, big round of applause or anecdote.
We'll see you in Belgium.
Thanks a lot, guys. I'm gonna bring you back to
our pleasure. Thank you.
The walk-off song of the week, though.
Okay.
So as I said, they have since come back from Belgium. They were huge in Belgium, and now they're looking at actually going back to Europe next year. So they had a successful little show.
They've got a little buzz building in Lithuania.
They do, in Andorra.
Good night, San Marino.
So yeah, that's good for them.
Cool, good to see them. I mean, I've known those guys a long time. Oh, and I'd have to clear up right now. I did not play trumpet in junior high school. I played tenor saxophone.
I'm sorry. And what happened with that?
And I played for 4 years. Then when I got into high school, it was my first class of the day, like 8 in the morning.
That was too early.
That just didn't work.
Well, I guess we have to go to the walk-off song of the week in a minute here, but...
Well, yeah, first, give them the
vital... Yeah, our vital signs, which are dwindling, but can be found by going to www.bullpenbetty.com. I also have a Instagram account. Do you have Instagram?
I do, but I think I've opened it up once.
Yeah, so I have an Instagram.
I got a Twitter account, and that died. I'm like...
Oh, right. You can get to Twitter and Facebook and Podomatic, where we have all of our podcasts, through the website, bullpenbetty.com. But I don't have a link to Instagram, which is, you know, I guess I'm Bullpen Betty on Instagram. And I have a picture of myself and Curtis Granderson posted on there, recent. I told him that when he and Cano left, I heard that they were both leaving the Yankees, my head exploded. So that's what I said to him.
What did he say back?
He didn't say much. He probably was thinking, yeah, so did mine. okay, well, as we always do, we allow our interviewees to pick the walk-off song of the week. So I did yet again, and it was a good one.
Pick him up.
So every week, well, Gigo and I haven't been doing the show every week, but we try. But we still call it the walk-off song of the week, and it's a song that's, you know, that maybe New York inspired or baseball inspired or just inspired. And sometimes I pick it, sometimes he picks it. But whenever we have an interview, we allow our interviewees to pick it. So
we got one. We pick Ace Frehley, Back in the New York Groove, as our walk-off song.
That's a great song, and I mean it's kind of self-explanatory, but do you want to give any reason?
It's beyond the obvious. It's a song off a record that me and Nunes used to love, that Ace Frehley,
love it.
Ace Frehley solo record, that first Ace Frehley solo record. We loved it, me and Nunes, back in the day, and you know, it's just a song that brings back a lot of good memories of New York back in the day, and just growing up in New York, and it's just a very
And also, it's a New York song by a New York band.
There you go.
Is Ace Frehley the best member of Kiss? True or
yes.
False?
Yes.
I was always a big Vinnie Vincent fan. Yeah, I guess.
All right, guys. Well, Back in the New York Groove, thanks a lot for coming on the Bullpen Betty
Show. Thank you, Betty.
Thanks.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, and thanks for the support, everybody out there, for the band. We really appreciate it. We'll see you out there.
Bye.
Toodles.